All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are very well. Today we have a very cool episode. I'm joined with my good friend Joel from the very start. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Wonderful. Is that a stepladder to your left?
It is. It's a stepladder left by a tradesman who installed a smart meter and left it in my house. And it's now a semi-permanent fixture in my living room because I haven't put it in the garage.
Lovely. Are you holding it like a hostage?
No, I've phoned them, they don't want it back, but it's a good stepladder. It's a step up from my standard stepladder, both literally and metaphorically.
Actually, we had ladder talk with JC, and JC, I had a scaffolding put up a few months ago, and the scaffold is left a stepladder. And not a step ladder, like a proper roof ladder. And then I think the scaffolding company's gone out of business. And you'll love this, Joel. They're actually called Big Purple Erections. It was a purple scaffolding company. That might not have been a name anyway, whatever. right. You might have to, just to say, listeners, I've been to a family barbecue. It's Sunday night. I was at a family barbecue earlier, so I've had a few drinks earlier and a lot of meat. So I'm kind of in that weird sort of hazy, kind of the alcohol's wearing off, but the meat is affecting my mind. So this might be a very, very interesting episode, or it might be weird.
Probably both.
So I've got you on straight away, Joel, because we're going to do a couple of things today. We're going to talk about the next song in our Oasis A to Z, which is Force of Nature, which is very exciting. So I look forward to getting your thoughts on that. We're also going to dig into the early Noel Gallagher demos. Now, this is not The Rain. This is not the lost tapes or the early years or whatever that one is with See the Sun and those ones. This is the like acoustic demos that Noel did in the 80s, which I've been meaning to cover for ages. So I'm really looking forward to discussing that with you. But first off, Liam was on Jules Holland last night. Now, so we're very close to the album coming out, which is just next week as we record this. And he hasn't released any new songs, but one of them, Worlds in Need, was performed on Jules Holland, as well as he did Everything's Electric and Better Days as well, which was fine. Not a huge amount to say about those, but we have a new song out there which we've now heard. So what did you think of Worlds in Need?
So the first thing, if you listen to the opening before the kind of guitars kick in, there's like a sort of muted thing where they've kind of turned up the filters as you go through, and if you go and listen to it again, but instead of imagining you're seeing Liam Gallagher getting ready to start singing, imagine you've got a picture of Ronnie O'Sullivan leaning down to pop balls. The first 5 seconds of that song could be the introduction to snooker on the BBC.
Okay.
And you're laughing now because you've not played the side by side, but you'll do that in a minute and you'll be like, yeah, he's right.
Well, there you go. Here it is.
But it basically starts with the BBC snooker theme and kicks into Desire by U2.
Yeah, well, he said in the little interview with Jules, he said Bo Diddley Magic Bus, which is, it's the Bo Diddley. And Magic Bus kind of does that. So it's a classic kind of riff. But yeah, it's interesting you go with Desire, actually, yeah. I suppose the sound of the guitars is more Desire-ish.
It's a direct lift in terms of the harmonic progression of Desire as well, whereas Magic Bus doesn't have, yes, it's the same guitar rhythm, but it's not an identical you know, you could sing Desire over the top of it. He sort of comes in and he snarls the first line. I think it's really good, but then he sort of does it again slightly, and he sort of drops down and down and down as he goes through the verse, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I don't like it when he gets so low that you can hardly hear what he's singing.
Yeah, there's like a I mean, just to say, generally, I was pretty nonplussed about this, and if someone came in and said, "What are you listening to, Liam?" and it was this, I'd kind of be a bit embarrassed. Because it's just not good enough, you know, especially the lyrics when he's sort of...
Some of the lyrics, sail the seven seas, live a life of ease. It's like it's a sea shanty.
It's just bad. Sail the seven seas, live a life of ease. I mean,
I see it in your eyes. I see it when you smile, which I think has come out of Little James, which was not a lyrical high point at the time.
It's just, you know, it's pleasant enough. And what I will say is maybe when we hear it on the album, because there's certain songs like When I'm in Need or things like that from the first album that I could imagine hearing them in this sort of context, you'd be like, I wasn't sure about that. But actually, then when you do hear it on the album with all the production and everything, so go, yeah, that was good. You know, that I like that.
Pretty heavily produced live. Do you think there's like this sort of that tremolo guitar, like sort of ticking away, you know, ma 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 ma, the sound of like the guitar coming and going, and like that's all kind of timed so that it sits really neatly in the beat, which is not a thing that you can do live very easily without quite a lot of pre-programming. And then all the backwards guitar sound and the interplay of the harmonica and the guitar, all of which is great to listen to. It's like that's good rock and roll music. It's rock and roll music by numbers. But I quite like that sort of big wall of noise that you get at various points when the vocal isn't in the track. I've written here that I like the production, but the underlying song, I guess, if you just peeled it back to it's just like a bloke singing this song on an acoustic guitar, you'd be like, come on, that isn't good enough. But then it's got interesting, good production, like competent guitar players making pleasing rock and roll noise. And Liam's vocal actually works quite nicely on it. The middle eight is a bit better, albeit the lyrics, we're all crazy now. We're back on top, we won't let you down. It's just, again, it's like, please, you know, anything other than that would be great. The other thing about when he kicks into the chorus, and it goes into All I Wanna Do, You Come On Baby Blue, that bit, which is another that's out of blooming. Let There Be Love.
Yeah.
But to me, when that kicks in, the sound of that and the sort of the songwriting part of that, so just the melody and the harmony, really made me think of I Want to Be the Only One by Eternal and Luther Vandross.
I want to be the only one who loves you.
But it's just not. Yeah. But it's just not. It's not a reference that I should be getting in a Liam Gallagher song.
Wow, okay.
So the BBC Snooker credit song into I Want to Be the Only One by Luther Vandross featuring Eternal, or Eternal featuring Luther Vandross.
I'd actually really like to hear Liam do a cover of that. That was a good tune.
I want to be the only one. And Noel going, did you find my friend?
That'd be great.
I wanna be the only one to hold comeback single for them.
Oh dear, oh dear.
So like, no, I like the production. I like the intent of it. It's just so derivative, and the lyrics are garbage.
Yeah, lyrics are too bad. And that bit, I can imagine maybe on the album that it will be better produced, like there'll be sort of overlapping vocals. There's a couple of bits, he sort of sings a line and he has to kind of talk a line. I think it's in the bridge, and you're like, okay, that was weird. But as I said, I will reserve judgment for the album. Yeah. Just to say, he actually wrote this song quite a long time ago, because he was tweeting about it in January 2020. Oh, wow. He said, "I wrote a song last year called 'The World's in Need.' Might have to release it. Doesn't matter if it's out of tune because you're cool, as it's true." He says, "Come on, you know LG." And then he released the lyrics. "It's calling me, it's calling you, listen up, let's get to you. No, I need a sign for peace of mind. The world's in need, send Godspeed." So it was...
"You need a break where there's no snowflakes," which if he's writing in January 2020 makes sense, because it'd be cold outside. But again, really...
Well, no, I think that's all about the snowflakes, like, you know, but people that get though, upset about things on the internet.
I thought maybe it was a slightly clunky reference to... people are easily offended by, like, you know, stuff that's probably actually unacceptable unless you're 50 years old and used to being unacceptable. But it then goes on to say, "I'd rather go to be in the sunshine because then I feel fine." That is the lyric, isn't it? But, you know, that's...
Oh, my God. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the main takeaway from this is... Liam, stop writing the lyrics. Like, you know, you work with a group of songwriters that really are very good lyric writers. Just let them do it, you know, because it just makes you go, oh, you know, it's like a bad script in a film, or like on a like if in a film someone's got a bad accent, you know, like in Ocean's 11, Don Cheadle's got like a really dodgy Cockney accent. And it just makes you go, ah. So everything else in the film can be fine. But as I said, for me personally, like, lyrics are such a big thing for me that when he's got like those sort of obvious ones that are just like, wait, what? Are you just referencing, you're just taking stuff from other songs, but not even in a cool way, in like just a rubbish way. So it's a no from me, but we'll wait to hear it on the album and say it might sound all right.
Yeah, well, that's it. A wider context for it. And the other stuff has been better.
Yeah.
And a bit more contemporary sounding, rather than just could have been written at any point in the last 30 years. Quasi Oasis by Numbers.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, look, so that's World's in Need. So the next time we'll be speaking will be to discuss the new Liam album, which will be very exciting. And I'm actually doing we're going to do like a live listen along. It's being put on by our mate Ross, who does at Adored LDN. So it's going to be on the 27th of May, 9 p.m. We're going to be playing the album. Sort of, so you can log into his Twitch stream, which is twitch.tv/Halcyender, or if you follow at AdoredLDN, or if you just check on my Twitter, you'll see it there. But so it should be good fun. And if you've gone to Ross's things before, basically he's, you know, it's not just like when these things that do like a live stream and it's just someone's playing the songs, like a Mixcloud or whatever. He physically has made his garage into a replica of the house, of the Hacienda, aka the Hacienda, and he's got the big screens and he's got the smoke machines, and it's awesome. So he'll be there doing it live. You can be on the chat. I'll be running a Zoom as well, I think. So if you want to listen along, share your thoughts on the album, it would be great to have you there. I'm not talking about you, Joel. I'm talking to the listeners now.
Yeah, it's fine. No one wants me at their house at the end, I understand that.
No, that's fine. what should we talk about now? Shall we talk about the Noel demos?
Yes, let's do that.
So, and I think it's really interesting, actually. It's a nice point of reference to Liam's stuff, because these are, you know, this is like the really early days of Noel Gallagher sort of putting these songs together. And yet, actually, I think some of these songs, even in these real basic, scratchy ways, are more, you know, are better put together and are actually sort of, you know, better realized songs than actually a lot of stuff Liam's done in the last few years, to be honest.
Of course they are, because the person writing them went on to become one of the greatest songwriters that Britain's ever produced. It definitely feels like Noel doing his 10,000 hours, though, doesn't it? This is somebody who is learning how to be a great songwriter rather than someone who is, at the point of writing these, a great songwriter. And then you have the second evolution when he's kind of gone through house music in the early 90s and the kind of lost demos, See the Sun, Must Be the Music, where it's like he's got the guitar work and he's sounding like Noel Gallagher playing the guitar, and there's a bit more snarl in the tune, which obviously Liam then brings out better because he's got that sort of voice. But I think they're listenable. And if you said to me, oh, I've got a recommendation for a McGee band from the 80s, like if you said this is The Wedding Present, I know they don't sound anything like this, but for argument's sake, a band I've never heard anything of, what do you think? Can I listen to it? Be like, yeah, there's some stuff there that's all right. I could, you know, listen to that. I mean, I can't listen to it because I know it's Noel Gallagher and it would feel desperately uncool to be listening to that unreleased Noel Gallagher demos. But if it was like a 1989 limited edition rough trade release of a band that had one minor hit in the early 90s, then I might put it on and be like, yeah, this is quite cool. I'm listening to something that no one else knows.
So let's just give the people a bit of background, shall we? So Noel Gallagher, we know, was often writing songs, putting stuff to cassette tape over the years. Now, the first thing that we're aware of as a musical movement that he did was with a guy called Paul Bardsley that went on to do the band Molly Halfhead, who had a minor hit with Shine in the mid-90s, another Shine song. The band that he had with Paul Bardsley was called Fantasy Chicken and the Amateurs. That apparently they never recorded anything. And I think it was really just them messing about. But then apparently there was mention of somewhere that they were a five piece and so they actually did some proper rehearsals. I think from what I've heard from Paul Barzi was interviewed on the Spanish language Oasis podcast. And he talked about that and he just really made it sound like it was just him and Noel messing about. But maybe it sounds like they might have had some sort of five of them in a room at some point. But anyway, they never recorded anything, so that's lost to time. Then we have these three demo tapes that we're aware of that Noel recorded in the 1980s. And so for this, I've really got to tap my hat to Mr. Monobrow, who is no longer around on the internet, but he's basically collated all of this. monobrowdemos.wordpress.com. So he has gone through and done he's done a brilliant website that collates every bit of information you could need on the Oasis demos and the Noel Gallagher demos and stuff. And also we've got David Huggins, whose website, Oasis Recording Info. These are the two key things for this. So the first one was called Noel's Tunes in 1988. Now this was put up for auction at Christie's on the 30th of April 1998, but it failed to sell, and then it was later sold privately, so it's never been heard publicly. There is an Enemy review, because when they were publicizing it, you know, for the auction in 1998, Enemy reviewed it, and there was an interview with Record Collector which spoke to the person that was selling the tape. But he didn't go public who he was. He was basically a mate of Noel's from the time he worked with him on the building site, when Noel was, you know, famously broke his foot and was sat in the building site not doing very much. But yeah, so that tape has got Womb to Womb, Badge, which is apparently the first song that Noel ever wrote, I Am the Man, England, I Didn't Think So, aka What's Been Happening, What's It Got to Do with You, No Cause for Alarm, aka Hey You, and Have Fun. Now, we've never heard Womb to Tomb. We've never heard Badge, I Am the Man, or England. But the final four songs all turn up on the second demo tape. So this demo tape
sounds like a Smith song, though, right?
Sorry, say again.
Room to Tomb sounds desperately like a Smith song title.
Very much, yeah. And just to say, from what it said at the time, the lyrics were like, "Stand proud, your head held in the rain." Then like you have to sacrifice pleasure to buy yourself a house. So, you know, that sounds very much like a Morrissey line. And Badge as well. Some of the lyrics are, "You can't explain to your friends your feelings of guilt. Here's $1 million, go plant a bomb. Here's $1 million, take another mother's son. Did it ever change anything? Show me how." So this is not Noel. This is not what Noel went on to be in Oasis at all. Yeah, I think he was very much inspired by the Smiths at this point.
Not by Bansky.
No, not at all. Not at all. But yeah, so the four songs that were on there then turn up on the next one, which is called Noel's Songs. Now, this one is available because it was bought by people on an Oasis website, alt.music.oasis. And so they physically bought it and released it in June 2006. Sorry, it was put up and sold. So, yeah. And so the tracks on this are, we'll just run through them and then we'll have a chat. So What's It Got to Do with You? Hey You, aka No Cause for Alarm. What's Been Happening, aka I Didn't Think So, But What If, and Gotta Have Fun. One of the things I thought was really interesting, and one of the reasons I was really happy to talk to you about it, is that this, you can hear it's I think it's mentioned as being a Porter studio. This is like a, it's like a four-track recorder or something of that nature, isn't it? And I love the fact that it is, you know, it's a real old school kind of play and record and then do another take over the top. And you can kind of hear that in it. And you can hear someone sort of, you know, you can hear he's like, he's just messing around with different ideas with the acoustic guitar and then with like a bit of jangly sort of picking over the top and then with sort of extra strums. And he's building these sort of things. And it's almost like, and it reminds me of like when, you know, when you would record like four track demos and stuff and you would sort of do it. And it's sort of, it was just really good fun for us when we were in the band and you would share these sort of little demos you'd put together and stuff, or we'd like, you know, add little extra bits onto them and things. And I just, it's just something so lovely about someone in their room just being creative, you know, by themselves.
Yeah. And I might not have been you I was talking to about it, but in 2022, if you have a little idea, you can jump onto an iPad and create a soundscape that sounds very plausibly like a band in a studio without doing anything more than tapping on the iPad screen in a particular way for a little bit of time. And that, to some extent, takes away, and because it's so easy to do that, because there's so much assistance given to you by GarageBand, I think it takes away some of the charm of being in a band and trying to record something in a low key way so that you can play it to your mates, either because you want to listen to it or because, you know, practically speaking, somebody needs to hear the song so that you can go and play it together as a group, if that's the way that you do your writing. And that's lost now, because why would you do that? Why would you sit with a four track recorder and mess around recording your guitar and singing? You can just like bash it all into GarageBand and create what sounds like the finished product.
Which is a shame, because then you don't get things like, you know, I can't remember which one it is, but there's one where it sort of starts off at one certain pace and it just suddenly picks up, ding, 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 and you're like, oh, okay. And if he's, and you get the feeling that he's just sort of playing it through and he thinks, no, I'll just play a different pace, or, you know, he just changes it up, and then it's like, and then that is now the song. Whereas you wouldn't do that on GarageBand. You'd key in the drum track and then you'd add a guitar track over the top, and it would be very, you wouldn't have those mistakes, would you, that then you say, oh, we'll keep that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. So I really like them. I know what you mean. It's not, obviously, compared to Slide Away or compared to something else, it's not. You know, these are not sort of, you can see why, you know, he wasn't signed on the basis of these songs. You know, you can see why he didn't get the gig in Spiral Carpets on the basis of these songs. This is not, you know, this is not there. But yeah, actually, especially with lyrically as well, and we'll come into it, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here. And there's sort of, you know, storytelling kind of elements and things that he didn't really do later in Oasis, yeah, when he was writing for Liam.
It might have been what's been happening. He says, now I've got a job. So talking to a girl, he's like, you've kind of binned me off, but now I've got a job, which is a very real kind of, you know, you can imagine him having that conversation with someone, or indeed having that conversation with himself in readiness to go and have that conversation with someone else. It's quite personal. And a lot of it is, in a way that the Oasis stuff early on had quite a lot of aspiration, and I'm stuck in a rut and I want to get out of the rut. So there's that, but this feels that much more desperate, because by the time he's writing that early Oasis stuff, he's got the hang of writing these incredible melodies to sit behind them. And it's like, you know, when you're singing Half the World Away, you know that you're writing a lyric that might well be very widely heard, because you know how good that song is.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like he's just starting to like write things that are his. He's not playing other people's songs, and he's writing words over the top, and he's not quite, you know, there's stuff in there that would just not have made it into a later song. It's that the melody's a bit messy over the chord progression, and he's just trying to make two lines that are otherwise identical slightly different by going up where he's gone down before, but it doesn't quite work. And it's just not stuff that you hear on any of the published output, because by then he's worked out how to do it.
Right.
Because as I said earlier, it sounds to me like a songwriter who's learning how to be a songwriter rather than a fully formed songwriter producing music for the world, or even for his own benefit.
Yeah. And he's just doing that thing of like playing the chords through, isn't he? He's just like, and he's just playing the sequence through. And it's almost like he's more, rather than trying to learn how to be a songwriter, it's almost like he's learning how to be a producer as well, because, or an arranger, I suppose, because he's, you know, he's layering on these different guitar parts and things like that. And you can kind of hear, you know, whether he's at points, obviously there's a real Smiths influence, at points there's a real U2 influence, at points then it's very Stone Roses as well. And I really like that. I really like the fact that you can hear that he's sort of, you know, he's not just sat there with the acoustic guitar playing and singing. He's actually trying to build these things.
Yeah, yeah. How do you want to talk about the songs themselves? Because we've done a broad overview of.
Yeah. Well, the first one is, so what's the first track on the tape?
What's it gonna be with you?
What's it got to do with you? Yeah, what do you think of this one?
My first thing is it really feels like it's been influenced by the Smiths. And the way that chord progression that starts resolves on a minor chord and then drops back into the beginning is not something that he would have written in Oasis. It's quite different harmonically to how he writes music in Oasis. I thought some of the words were interesting because they're very different to what you get when you come to Oasis, just in the, you know, as I said, this was sense of desperation and quite downbeat in a way that he just never really wrote when he was famous.
Yeah.
And I thought there's some nice melody, but then some of it's quite clumsy. And it doesn't really feel like the song goes anywhere. There's not a big payoff chorus, or indeed any payoff chorus at all. Mm-hmm. And there's some weird bits where like guitars come over the top and it's all a little bit out of time. And you know, I like think how production value focused Oasis were, just enormously high production values in terms of like everything is really precisely done. I know it's a big wall of snarling noise, but like there's a lot of purpose behind all the bits that go into making that. Whereas here it's all a bit clumsy and falls over each other. So this first one didn't really do anything for me. It's an interesting bit right at the end where he does a little arpeggio on the guitar that could have been later Oasis, just a little like ring. It's like a very Noel Gallagher thing to do at the end of the song.
Thank you.
But no, that was I kind of liked them better as I went through the demo. I don't know if it's because I'd got more into it or whether they just improved, but I wasn't that big a fan of What's It Got to Do with You.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think, I think you've obviously got that acoustic driving it along. And then we've got that Johnny Marr jangle over the top, which adds that nice extra texture to it. So it's a real conversational song, this, and it's like it's a male friend talking, like following a breakup. And I almost thought it could even be a direct follow-on from I Didn't Think So, What's Been Happening, which we'll talk about in a bit, which is obviously him, he meets up with the girl after they've broken up. And then, you know, and then this is like he's talking to his mate. And there's that lovely first line, ask me how I feel. Have you got about a day and a half to spare? You know, how are you feeling, mate? Oh, you got a day and a half to spare? Like, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Very Morrissey.
That's very Morrissey. Yeah, yeah. Ask me how I feel. You know, it's the fact he's like, do you really want to know, or is it just so you can laugh at me? You know, I just think that's like, he wouldn't do that in Oasis. He had a bit more bravado about him, whereas this is very much opening up, or, you know, or the character, if it's a character in the song, he's very much opening up. And I like, he says, what I really like, he says, don't harass me no more. Can we talk about something else now, please? I don't want to say any more. Can we talk about something else now, please? I like the fact he kind of repeats it again, you know, whereas normally, like, you wouldn't repeat a line like that, but it's like it works in that conversation because, you know, it's like, you know, oh, how you doing, mate? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, but how you doing? I don't want to talk about it. Like, you know, he sort of, you know, I really like that. And then, what is it? She said, I didn't understand. She said, I didn't care. Well, it's just not true. And then he's having this conversation with his mate. And then at the end, he's just like, oh, whatever. It's got nothing to do with you. I really like that, the way he just sort of blows him off at the end. She said, I didn't understand. She said, I didn't care. Well, it's just not true. It makes me think that it was planned. But what's it got to do with you? Well, it's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with you. Yeah, so no, I think it's, as I said, I sort of, the way I kind of thought about this was, you know, if he hadn't worked with a singer, if he had just sort of carried on this role, there's like an alternate path for Noel where he could have been like a much more introspective kind of, you know, clever lyrics, very personal, you know, little story songs and things. He could have done that. He could have definitely gone down that route.
Yeah. It's interesting because for someone who has always said, never really wanted to be a singer, it's like, well, you did audition for the Inspiral Carpets to be their singer. You know, that was a big, established, famous band and you auditioned to be their singer. So you must have had at least some aspiration to be a singer. Because that's not a thing that someone who doesn't want to be a singer would do.
Yeah. And let's forget as well, from the first Oasis single, there's a Noel song on it. You know, so from the first single, he was saying, oh, I'll sing a song on this one. Yeah. So, you know.
Interesting, his vocal between these demos. I mean, you could talk about all of them rather than anyone in particular, and Take Me Away is so different. You know, he's not... It's hard to sort of pinpoint who's, you know, if you think about Liam Gallagher, you can cite the vocal references very clearly. It's like Johnny Rotten and John Lennon and a bit of Ian Brown in the earlier stuff. With Noel, there's not an obvious what he's trying to sing like this person, but that slightly kind of sighing vocal that he does in Take Me Away that he does quite a lot, you know, it's all about, oh, when he sings.
And when it's time to be all the things that we are wishing away for another day, 'cause me and my soul, we know where we're going. We're going where the grass is green, the air is clean, and the good times are growing. So take me away just for today, 'cause I'm sad here on my own. I'd like to be under the sea, but I probably need a phone.
He's not doing it in these demos. It's a bit more like meat and two veg singing, and he sings it a lot lower, doesn't he? Like, I think Noel's quite
lower
high
register.
That's his thing. Because actually, there's very, very occasionally in any of these, does he kind of step up a bit into his real tenor voice, feel like, oh, that sounds like Noel Gallagher singing. And those are generally, for me, the high points melodically in these demos, is when Noel just kind of pushes up a bit and sings a bit higher. So, you know, oh, that's a good bit. That's a good bit of tune. You can kind of hear the nascent songwriter that he becomes in those moments of these songs.
I agree. Cool. All right, what's next up? It's Hey You, aka No Cause for Alarm. What do you reckon to this one?
Well, I like this one, and there's an interesting intro on an electric guitar that then doesn't really get repeated in the song, and then the song, once it kicks in, is very, very repetitive. It's got that same refrain, hasn't it? Hey you, I've only heard the one thing once, so I don't know the words. There's quite a nice piece of melody, but then there's not a lot of change from that point on. It's just the same sort of swirling little guitar arpeggio over the top of a basic chord progression and that little vocal refrain, which is nice, but eventually it gets quite repetitive.
Yeah.
And then it sort of ends quite abruptly. You know, it's not really sure what's happened there. There was like a riff at the start that didn't get repeated at all. Then there's the song that's done the same thing over and over again, and then it's just stopped. And it's like that's someone, you know, the melody's nice enough and there's some interesting lyrics and, you know, you can hear some good bits and pieces. But again, it feels like someone who's working out how to write a song rather than someone who knows how to write a song.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the example, I think, where, he's just playing a chord sequence through and then just messing around with it and singing some words over it. Obviously, the fact it's Hey You and the way it goes, there's the two obvious things. There would be Hey You, Pink Floyd, which we know is like a favorite song of his. And the lyrics to this are, hey you, if you're out there in the cold, or maybe if you're feeling old, don't look ashamed. And the Hey You by Pink Floyd is, hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? So it's, you know, it's pretty close.
Hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me?
Hey you, if you're out there in the cold, or maybe if you're feeling old, don't look ashamed. Hey you, if you're feeling down and out, maybe you think you're not in your shout.
A feature of Noel Gallagher's work throughout his illustrious songwriting career.
Just nicking something.
Outright lifting someone else's melody or words. Yeah.
And obviously as well, we've also got the fact it's like, hey, you up in the sky, you know, which is then, which he then later uses. So the melody's not the same. It's just obviously it's like a nice starting point for him. Hey, you. But yeah, hey, you, if you're out there in the cold, or maybe if you're feeling old, don't look ashamed. Hey, you, if you're feeling down and out, maybe you think you're not in with a shout. Well, you're wrong. Well, you're wrong. Hey, you, if you think that life is tough, well, yesterday maybe it was, but tomorrow it's not going to be that way. Hey, you, if you're living in the past, your future's running out real fast. Live for today and tomorrow. Live for today and tomorrow.
Yeah, so, yeah. Some of the singing around tomorrow just reminded me. There's sort of weird, a weird refrain and an attempt at repeating the word tomorrow, but changing the second time and it doesn't quite work. And again, is an example of, he knows that it can't sound the same twice because that would be boring, but he then sings it slightly differently and it doesn't really work over the rest of the harmony that he's written, which again, no. You would never hear in a published song because he didn't, he would recognise that and it wouldn't be included.
Yeah.
Hey you, if you think that life is tough, well yesterday maybe it was.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. And as you said, it's very repetitive and it is just the same sort of three or four chords, isn't it? Just around and around this one, yeah. Except for that, you know, weird bit at the start. Yeah, so that is an interesting one. And then what have we got next? We have What's Been Happening, aka I Didn't Think So. What do you reckon?
This one I like. This one, I mean, you and I had an exchange on WhatsApp, but I've written here, Smithsea/Elephantstone. Starts a bit odd, lyrics are all a bit sad and downbeat, but then there's that three chord, jing, 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 which is incredibly like Elephantstone, which is an amazing song and probably just hit hit the record stores at the point Noel's writing this, because it's just unbelievably like it.
Did you think about that? Did you spot that before I text you about it?
Yes, I'd written that. That's what I'd written. And then
how
you said
interesting.
But that's not, yeah. It's not a surprise because it is so obviously like Elephantstone.
Right. Okay. Because I heard it. And it was one of those things, you know, you're like, what is that? There's something about it. And it wasn't just the jung, 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 but it was also the way he does the, like the guitar solo at the end. You know, it's like or something like that. It's like,
yeah,
a slow
guitar outro on that, and it is. But it is very, because you think a lot of John Squire's early guitar work is quite noodly, or then the very bluesy stuff that he does in Fool's Gold. But Elephantstone, because it's that much earlier, is just like single notes, like very, very melodic, very deliberate single notes in Elephantstone. I mean, the guitar work in Elephantstone is magnificent. Go off topic to talk about how great Elephantstone is with its dance beat and all the production values in it, and this is a nod to that, but I quite like Noel's guitar work here, and it's the first moment in this where he kind of sings a bit higher. He does the bit I Think I Could See You,
yeah,
and he goes up a bit. You're like, oh, that's good, now that's a good tune, now do more of that, Noel.
Yeah, you go, there's Noel, there's my Noel from Oasis there. Yeah, yeah. I think I could see you.
Starting to touch some of those like emotive melodic moments that just defines Oasis. Yeah. Like, oh, he's doing it. He's doing the thing that he does. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, you got it. You got it. Stick with this part. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
Crying at home on my own and it's very sad. Yeah.
So I thought that, and I said like that elephant's don't spot, and so I was really pleased that you picked it up again. But I did think, well, hold on a minute, when did this tape come out? Because Elephant Stone didn't come out as a single, well, until October 88. Now we know this sort of, you know, we don't know when this tape was physically done, but we're like, well, was that too late? But if you go back, we know that they had played it live in Manchester. Noel had said that his first Roses gig was November the 13th, 1987. And then he saw them again in Manchester on May the 30th, 1988, around his 21st birthday. And we know this because that's the day he met Graham Lambert from the Inspiral Carpets, who was bootlegging the show. Or he was recording the show, whether or not he was bootlegging it, I don't know. But he was recording the show. Noel got talking to him, asked him for a copy of the tape, and that's how they then became mates and he auditioned for the band. But then, so he, even if this comes out before, even if this was recorded before the official single of Elephant Stone, we know he would have heard the song and he would have had a recorded version of the song, although albeit live. So that's some proper detective work there for you, Joe. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's very impressive. But I mean, I can just listen to the song and know that he's lifted it from Elephant Stone, because it's just so... It's quite different to the other songs that he's writing here, which are all feel more like Smith's wannabe music. And then this one is, oh, that's really, really like a song that was being released around the same time by another famous band in Manchester.
Yeah.
And we know that he loves being a magpie. So
yeah,
I think what you say is plausible, but I just feel that this song has been inspired by Elephant Stone very directly.
Yeah, I suppose like if it wasn't necessarily in the chord structure and that sort of the guitar line at the end, I mean, the strum, strum, strum kind of nails it, doesn't it?
I mean, that's so much like Elephant Stone. I mean, there is no other song I can think of that does that thing specifically, but to do that thing over pretty much the same harmonic progression in the same way, difficult to imagine that he's just randomly come up with that.
Yeah.
Without having heard it. I mean, it's fine. You don't write, you know, it's not always the case that you sit down and write something intentionally that sounds exactly the same as somebody else's thing, because you sit down and you're writing a piece of music and you're doing whatever your process looks like. And then there is an element of ad lib before you, you know, unless you're Bach and you're writing it using maths, which Noel Gallagher would not have been doing. and you sit and you play and you think, where can I go from here to something else that'll be interesting? And you play with ideas and you play something and you think, that sounds really good, great, carry on. And then later on go, oh, it sounds great because actually I've just lifted it straight from a big hit by another band. That's why it sounded great to me when I played it in my head, because it's someone else's music that I really like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But most people would then go, that means I'll have to change it. Whereas Noel Gallagher goes, well, I'm fine, whatever.
Yeah, I'll sort it. I'll just, yeah, if I get sued. But then, and even when you're doing this as well, it's like, well, you know, you use another song as a basis and then you come up with your own thing. I seem to remember you you used Emma Bunton's classic What Took You So Long as a song for a basis, and then you came up with something good on the back of it, Joel.
That's very probably true, or something bad off the back of it, because What Took You So Long is an absolute tune.
So, and then lyrically as well, I really like this. This is like a short story. This could be a pulp song, you know, or a like a Morrissey song, because and it's a conversation. It's like, you know, and we're hearing one side of the conversation coming from Noel or the protagonist of the song, and we don't hear the girl talking back, but we know that she's talking back because there's, you know, there's gaps. So he says, well, and I really like the way he goes, well, like that. It starts, well, what's been happening? And it's like, it's a conversational thing. And that's where I think it feels like Jarvis. I mean, obviously, this is, it's not before Pulp, but you know, you probably wouldn't have heard Pulp anyway. And they were a very different band at this point, but it's just like, well, it's just such a cool, like, conversation, sarcastic-y way to start it. But anyway, I like that. What's been happening since we last met? Have you found a new boyfriend? And then, no, I don't want to bet. So obviously she's gone like, well, do you want to bet? And he's gone, no, I don't want to bet.
Well, what's been happening since we last met? Have you found a new boyfriend? No, I don't want to bet.
And then we have this nice break, and then he comes back. Me, I've been surviving. I've got a job now. You know, you could say I was nervous. Oh, just don't say so. And then we get this. You know, then we get a nice gap, and then we get that lovely. Do you think I could see you? So it's like he's being all cool about it. Like, you know, he's sort of like, oh, yeah, you got a new boyfriend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got a job now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then so he's trying to be cool. And then he just loses the cool and goes, do you think I could see you? And he says it four times. And then I didn't think so, you know, and it's and the way he sings it, you know, do you think I could see you? It's full of hope. I didn't think so. It's like, you know, that's very Morrissey.
No, it's. I mean, that's the first two I was underwhelmed by. That I was like, this is quite a good song, actually. And although it's a lot like Elephant Stone, it's doing plenty that isn't just a direct lift of that.
Yeah, wonderful. All right, where are we going next?
But What If?
But What If? Yeah, what do you think of But What If?
Again, I quite like it. It's got the sort of gentle phaser guitar, you know, that guitar effect going over in the background. And he's messing about around the D chord shape like he does throughout his career every opportunity. The start of it, little lady, it's been a long... But he doesn't. And that's like, that. You know, that's the opening refrain of every of the verse lines. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then he's got sort of guitar work that, again, isn't a million miles away from Here Comes the Sun. It's got a defined chorus and it sort of shifts up into a minor chord. And that is a bit more conventional songwriting. There's a verse, then it goes into a chorus, and there's a sort of an extra guitar comes over the back. And that What If I Have the Last Laugh is quite a nice line, sort of both lyrically and also melodically. So I quite like that.
Little lady, you think your life is tough, little lady. You think it's time.
I didn't like about this song is at the end he's got some sort of slightly high-picked guitar that just sounds a little bit silly and amateur. So someone's going bing 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 bing. It's a bit like, that's not a guitar solo, that's just you going bing 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 bing, you know. So we can imagine friends of ours not having written their guitar parts before we went into a rehearsal, just doing sort of that and me getting annoyed that they'd not spent any time on this song I'd lovingly crafted.
Is that what you've come up with? Yeah? Did you just make it up on the spot? No. It's a choice. Bing, 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 bing. Oh dear, oh dear.
But I think until that point, which irritated me slightly, both, I guess, because I've got a bit of PTSD about the experience that I'm alluding to. Also, it just doesn't sound very good. It sounds very amateur. Whereas the other stuff in the song, it's like, that's quite well put together. And it's, that sort of arpeggio guitar over the back of the singing and the way it flips up into the chorus. So again, that could be something he'd written much later on.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's sort of, it feels like a proper song. I think it's a shame that you've got the little lady, which is because instantly you just go, oh, mate, you know, that's little darling. That's exactly the same. So I can't help but always think of that. And also it's, once again, this is not in his normal voice. You know, it's too low for him. He would normally write higher for him. Little lady, you think your life is tough. Little lady, do you think it's time enough? Maybe lady, you nearly made me cry. Maybe lady, then you'll take up so high. But what if the time comes to give? But what if you have no place to live? But what if the sun refused to shine? Would you blame your mind? Yes, I know you don't know. Are you thinking, you know where it went wrong? Are you thinking, sit down and sing this song? Don't like it when people sing about singing songs, but I think we can let him off here if he's literally never wasn't expecting anyone to ever hear this. Keep on thinking. I'm sure the words will come before too soon. Keep on thinking, sitting alone here in your room. But what if I have the last laugh? What if you have a heart attack? But what if the moon refused to shine when you mind? Yes, I know you don't know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I like this one. I don't think it's got the same. I think we're getting into sort of generic-y lyrics, if we're talking about sort of the lyric side. The other ones, I sort of really like the fact they're more sort of short story type songs, whereas this is more sort of his generic, that'll fit the melody kind of style for me. But it's a decent song. I think it's here we're getting more into... You know, there's different changes and there's multiple chords, there's multiple changes rather than just he's playing a chord sequence through and just riffing over it.
Yeah. Albeit at the end he spoils it with his
ding, 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 ding.
There we go. Cool. And then the last one, is gotta have fun for fun for fun.
Yes, yeah, gotta have fun. It's a weird title, isn't it? And have fun or gotta have fun.
Does that have an AKA?
No, it's called Gotta Have Fun on the second tape, and on the first tape it's called Have Fun. So fun, exclamation mark, exclamation mark.
Yeah. So I thought this one was very, I know it. This won't be, because of the timing of it, something that he's heard when he's in Pink Studios, but it's very, to me, sounds quite Real People. The strumming pattern is quite Real People. So assuming he's writing this in 1988, he's kind of referencing music that's 2 or 3 years away. It's quite interesting, you know, that sort of guitar rhythm that he's playing. It's quite middle of the road, I think.
Yeah.
But again, it's got moments where he sings a bit higher, and then those are quite good. So it's just something about slamming the door in my face, mm-hmm. raise a smile, run a mile, and I'll have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought the tune was quite Noel-esque, and some of the words are also quite Noel-esque. But then the thread of the lyric is sort of quasi-motivational. Keep believing in yourself, and you can help yourself.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, do you ever see the light? Do you feel alive tonight? Do you ever? Didn't you once hear me say there will be a better day, and you said never? Did you see the time of day ticking away ever? And if your time that's running out, and if you're down, don't take it out ever. Don't take it out. Don't take what out? it's good advice. Generally, best to not take it out. Don't tell me I don't understand. Don't ever raise your hand. Oh, is that about his dad beating him? No. I know what you're thinking. No one means you any harm, and there's no cause for alarm. So that's where an AKA comes from, no cause for alarm. I know what you're thinking. You know, I've been there before, and I've had that very same door slammed in my face. Honest, I've been there before. When I heard you slam the door, I just raise a smile. I run a mile. I get out this place, and I have fun, fun, fun. Fun, fun, fun. The next in the you know, it's the next repeat, but don't believe the lies. Then he says, there's no place up in the skies. So that's up in the sky there. Yeah. You're going to have fun. Keep believing in yourself, because only you can help yourself. You're going to have fun. Yeah. Don't believe in fate. Don't believe in hate. You're going to have fun. Keep believing in yourself. Blah, blah, blah. Fun. It's weird, isn't it? It's just a strange thing that Noel Gallagher is saying, hey, have fun.
Yeah,
Noel Gallagher's not the sort of person to encourage someone to have fun.
No,
is like, I don't know, going to the circus or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's have fun. Weird. But
again, there's some good moments in the song, and it's quite, you know, there's quite a lot to it. It's quite a complex structure. It's not just verse, chorus, done. There are times when there's kind of three guitars going, and it's all a bit messy and they don't really work, and it's him doing that layering thing that he obviously then perfects later on in his career, but because he's obviously just plugged his guitar pedal straight into the four track recorders, it's not recording an amplifier that is like giving you that big gain and crunch. It's just the sort of slightly weird computerized distortion sound that you get when you plug an effects pedal straight into a tape deck rather than into a amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true of all of the songs where they've got the more electric guitar sound going. I think there's a bit of keyboard in the background, like a sort of church organ sound. You said you hear it at the end when it all kind of drops
when
away.
When it fades away, yeah.
It's quite nice. So again, it's interesting. There's some nice bits to it. I hate the lyrics. And I think some of the arrangement is a bit sort of tripping over each other, and you can't really hear exactly what he's trying to do.
Mm.
But, you know, this is him, as I said at the start, this is kind of, I've always said, the line, but this is where I'd written it when I was making my notes. You can just hear him learning how to be a songwriter as we go through these. I mean, they're quite accomplished in many ways already, but yeah, relative to what he then goes on to achieve, obviously they're still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think for me, yeah, by the time you get to But What If and Gotta Have Fun, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, we're still going with this, are we? You know, whereas the What's Been Happening and What's It Got to Do with You and the
Hey You,
I don't know. There's something about them. They're a little bit catchier. Maybe they're just a bit hookier.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They're quite short, aren't they? Because I think they're less than 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Those first couple ones, and then the last two are a bit longer. Yeah.
They're a little bit longer. Yeah. The other reference we haven't mentioned actually is New Order. I think there's definitely a bit of New Order in some of these, especially in the guitar lines as well. There's some of the guitar lines that kind of sound like Hookie's bass, you know, when he plays the higher bass lines. But obviously I don't think he's playing a bass in any of these. I think it's all just guitar lines. But
yeah, that's a good shout, actually. I hadn't thought that, but you're mm-hmm. right, and that would be a reference to a contemporary artist, right? 1987, yeah, you'd be getting New Order.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Cool. All right. And then just to say, just to sort of put a closer on it, there is a third tape we're aware of, which is labeled Pete and Noel from Manchester. It's got the same five Noel sung songs as on Noel Songs, but there's an additional six songs sung by Pete. Now, we don't know who Pete is. Pete has stayed silent, apparently. He's not. But yeah, Mr. Monobrow has managed to speak to this person, apparently, and we don't know who Mr. Monobrow is. There you go. Pete played acoustics on Noel's songs, and Noel played acoustic and some electric on Pete's. Why Me was Noel's creation stroke chords, but Pete sang it and I think wrote the words. They basically swapped ideas and shared songs, etc. Everything was recorded at Pete's house in Gorton. So if you are Pete from Gorton, I'd love to speak to you. And the track listing is My Little World, Ask Me How I Feel. So I wonder if that's Ask Me How I Feel. Lead Me Astray, Hey You, Revolution, What's Been Happening, No Ambition, But What If, Why Me, Gulliver's Blues, and Gotta Have Fun. So there you go.
We haven't heard the ones that we haven't heard on that demo.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, okay.
All we've got is there. And interesting, in Paula Hewitt's book, he talks about this point when the tape goes to sale. In front of Marcus is a record collector news story that's been faxed over to him. A tape containing some of Noel's earliest songs is to be auctioned at Christie's. The songs are pre-Oasis. An assistant who has heard the tape delivers a damaging comment. She says a lot of the songs are better than anything on Be Here Now. They estimate a selling price of between $4,000 and $6,000. Marcus states, but it will go for far more. He's now preparing a press release. I'm going to say that until we hear the tape, I can't verify anything. I'm also going to say that it might have been nicer if whoever is selling this tape to have the courtesy sent a copy. It says here, I say, Paula Hewitt, scanning the article, that the guy wrote to Noel offering to give him back the tape, but if he didn't receive a reply, then he'd go ahead with the sale. Marcus states, we never got a letter. Seller of tape remains anonymous. Noel said, Noel heard it and he said, you know, Marcus asked him if it was his songs. He said, sounds like it. Anyway, give a shit. Marcus said, we can always get someone down there to buy the tape, Marcus said. Noel said, you're joking, aren't you? Spend $6,000 of my money for my songs, my own fucking songs. That's wrong. I'm not having that. And put like that, you had to agree. And then he was interviewed in Mojo magazine in 2021. And he said, when they said, what was the first song you wrote that you thought was any good?
He said, before I left home, I met this guy, Pete, through an ad in the Manchester Evening News. He had a little four track. We wrote these songs together. I remember playing the demo to people and the overriding reaction was, look of surprise. Fucking hell, is that what you do? So there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he would know, and only he would know, because he would never give you credit for answering that sort of question, honestly. He must have been quite proud of those at the time. That have been part of him, that presumably quite enjoyed the fact that, you know, years later, people are now falling over themselves to listen to it.
Mm.
Even if it would be too cool for school and say, well, you know, whatever.
And do you think it's weird that they've never copyrighted these and they've never tried to, like put them out as on an anthology or something? Because I mean, the you know, if you put an Oasis song on a YouTube video, it will instantly get tagged. You know, there's no copyright on these. They aren't physically owned by, there's no, what is it, publishing, licensing. They're just songs. You know, me and you could to do this as an album and put it out, and I don't think we'd have to pay them anything.
We've talked about this before, haven't we, in respect of things like See the Sun, Must Be the Music, which obviously that much closer to what Oasis sound like. I think if you have an unreleased song that you're the composer of, you have certain copyright protection. So if we went off and recorded What's Been Happening and put it out and it was a smash hit, which seems very unlikely for any number of reasons, then we could be sued by Noel.
Right.
Which is right, because he's created that and he should be protected. You know, the law should protect people who create things.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it. I just, it's not, I mean, at the moment, just in, if you do a YouTube video of, some might say, it will instantly get flagged. You know, if I put up a podcast episode with a clip in it onto YouTube, it will instantly get flagged, and any money from that will go to the copyright holder of the song.
That might not be true with these songs, but that will be as much because the owner of the copyright, such as it is, hasn't chosen to enforce it.
Mm. Well, I know when I spoke to McGee about the early ones, I asked, like, See the Sun and Must Be the Music. I said, well, did you buy those? Like, is that part? He's like, just no. You know, just they just didn't, you know, and it just seems strange to me. Like, surely you would have just, like, you know, picked it up. It would just would have made sense. So, you know, they must make no money off of all those songs, all those plays on YouTube, that all those, and I don't think they get that many plays. Obviously, they're a bit crap, but, you know, they could be getting money off them. That could be, you know, I just think it's like mad that, you know, they haven't done an anthology and this is disc one, you know, and there must be. He must have thousands of tapes, you know, because we're aware of these three.
They would all lap it up. They would, you know, you could put it out in 17 different formats and people would go out. But I mean, I would be excited about hearing an anthology of stuff that, particularly from the first 5 years of the band, that, you know, I'm not bothered about what they might have done in the noughties, but anything in the 90s, anything in that golden era, being put out for the first time that we've not heard. I mean, I've heard bits and pieces that are very unreleased, but will not be discussed any further. And I would love to hear versions of that that must exist elsewhere.
Yeah. 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 We know this stuff. We know that, you know, you just know from being a musician, he's always writing, he's always recording, always, you know, we know about these three tapes. I'm sure there must be other tapes, but anyway, there we go. Right, so that is the Noel demos done. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed that. Great, as always, to catch up with Joel. Yeah, really enjoyed them. If you haven't checked them out, obviously you've had a good chunk of them now on this podcast. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. So hit the link in the description of this episode if you want to go and check them out on YouTube. All very good. I mentioned at the start that we'll be doing Force of Nature, but we've got quite a bit to cover off, so we'll pick up again with the Force of Nature discussion next time. And if you do want to give your thoughts on Force of Nature, then do feel free to drop over an audio message. That would be cool, and it can go in the next episode along with my thoughts with Joel. And from last episode, we were talking about flashbacks.
And we've had a message in from Ollie Ford. So let's hear from Ollie.
Oh my God, I love this song. I remember the single coming out and I was obsessed with this. I thought the chorus was bang on, the whistling was incredible, and I loved the line about sitting on a fence with a mate. I was 16 at the time, so sitting on fences with mates was what I was doing a lot of. And I've literally lost count of the amount of times when somebody's asked me a question and I've gone to say, in my well-paid opinion. I think it's a really underrated gem that only the die-hard fans will know. I wonder what Noel thinks of it. He probably says it's shit, but it's really not. And it's another one I think only he can sing. I can't really imagine Liam doing it. I think the fame probably should be Liam, but this is total Noel. He's very, very good indeed. I love it.
Brilliant stuff. Love it, Ollie. And I appreciate the singing. You're not the only one that sort of randomly sings things at people, which is great. And Ollie mentioned there he wonders what Noel Gallagher's opinion on the song is. Well, thankfully, Ollie has managed to find an unheard interview from Noel talking about the song. So let's have a little listen to this.
You what? You're talking about fucking flashbacks? Are you fucking mental? Fucking Oasis pod, you need to kick up the arse, mate. What do I remember about it? Not much. Apart from the whistling bit, I thought I was doing Jealous Guy, but I was just fucking more like fucking Cable Guy. I remember being at Kate Moss's house, playing it one night, fucking Mick Jagger sniffing around her like a dog on heat. Like a dog with two dicks, Mick. It's fucking crap. I tell you what, though, that fucking period is monumental and was fucking amazing. So the music might be shite, but the times were good. So, you know, memories and all that. But fuck me, listening to that, you must be off your head. Adios.
Brilliant stuff. Great stuff. Don't know where he sourced that from, but unheard Noel interview talking about flashbacks. Absolutely love it. Fantastic. And it would be great to hear more from Noel in the future. Would be absolutely brilliant. One other bit of news since I sort of recorded the first bit, which is that Man City have just won the Premier League, and Noel turned up at the game, as he often does turn up for the big events. And but it was funny. So a couple of people tagged me on Twitter. I know the Andersons, which is a couple of brothers in Boston, I think, tagged me and said, look, check this out. There's pictures of Noel at the game. The first couple of pictures, he looks normal. The pictures later on, he's got like a plaster and on his nose and a cut on his face. What's going on? And so we posted this out and we thought it was very strange. And then he turned up on TalkSport the next morning and gave the explanation. So here you go.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. So as the third goal goes in, right, there is absolute bedlam, as you can imagine, in the stadium. And where we sit, Ruben Diaz's family are in the box, a couple of boxes up, right? So I'm jumping around like an idiot, passing my 11-year-old son around like the Premier League trophy. Everyone's lifting him up. And I turn round, and Ruben Diaz's dad runs straight into me, right? Headbutts me, right? I'm on the floor covered in blood, right? I don't see the last 2 minutes. I've got to get taken down by the St. John's ambulance, right, to get stitched up. I've got stitches in my top lip. I've got two black eyes.
Oh,
as I'm going down the corridor, Pep's running up crying, right? And we kind of hug each other. And I'm like, no way. He says, what's up with your face? And I was like, go and see the players. And if you've seen me today, right, I look like I've just arrived home from the 80s from Elland Road, right? I look like I've had my head smashed in. Right, it's unbelievable. A load of City fans are going, mate, you all right? What's happened? I went, you'll never guess. You'll never guess.
I mean, I imagine Ruben's dad's all right, is he?
Not a mark on him. He's a big bear of a man. And I was honestly, I mean, you know, I've got rehearsals today. I don't even think, honestly, he almost knocked my teeth out, right? Or what's left of them. And but the good thing about that is, you know, I'm kind of on the way to rehearsals now in a minute, but I have got three Liverpool fans in my band.
Oh, right?
That'll
be fun.
So this is going to be a great day. I'm going to get my daughter to film it, and this is going to be a fun afternoon. But as days go at the Etihad, I think that's right up there with the best.
Right, I think that will do us for today. As I said to Joel then, if you are around on Friday the 27th, if you're hearing this in time, then you can check out the Twitter, because we are going to be doing the live stream, Adored LDN, the Hacienda, live streaming the Liam album, sharing our thoughts in the chat, sharing our thoughts on the Zoom, which would be very cool. And then that will probably make up most of the next episode, because that'll be a good way to capture my thoughts and other guys' thoughts on the Liam album. So very exciting, and not long till Nebworth, less than 2 weeks till Nebworth now. Crazy, eh? Unbelievable. Right. Good. All right. Well, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Thanks. Most of all goes to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is. You can support the show at patreon.com/oasispod. Please follow on social media in all the usual places. Please feel free to drop me an email. As we said, if you want to give us your thoughts on the Liam album when that appears, or if you'd like to follow up on Flashbacks or Force of Nature or the next one, which I think is going to be full on, but I'm not sure off the top of my head. So, I think that'll do it. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.